Results conference call. Good afternoon to those of you in the U.K. or I guess on the East Coast. Good morning if you're out on the West Coast. We've got something a little bit different for you today. Previous calls, you've heard my voice. I'm Will Critchlow, and you've seen my slide decks. Bit different today, I'm joined by my good friend Rich Baxter from SEO Gadget.
Hi, Will.
Hi, Rich. Who is going to be joining me in a conversation about how to get the most from your SEO. And Rich's background in travel SEO, specialities in keyword research, large site architecture, he's a bit of a genius, really. But having worked in-house and now as running his own agency, we figure that between us, hopefully we've got some insights for this.
So you're too kind for all that. Thank you for those unrehearsed and very kind words. So I've got some experience working on both sides of the fence. I've done a fair few years working at an agency. I've also been in-house and I've worked in travel SEO specifically. And now I've started my own agency. So yeah, with any luck, we've got plenty of experience to throw around a bit of a discussion. It is a discussion, so we haven't necessarily prepared a presentation. And I'm not actually sure where this conversation's going to end up, but
Me
I'm pretty
either.
excited about it. Cool.
Likewise, let's see what happens. So, yeah, and yes, we do both run agencies. Yes, I guess that makes us competitors, but that's just all part of the fun, right?
Right. Friendly competition is
Yeah.
better than unfriendly competition, I suppose. I don't know.
I hope so. So, the beginning. Before we get into the meat too much, just you can ask us questions, or if you can't hear us, although I don't know why I'm saying this, if you can't hear us as well, you can tell us via Twitter. Use the #OptimalSEO hashtag, and hopefully we'll pick that up. And we're going to be answering questions kind of as we go along and probably a little bit at the end. Background. Recently, Rand from SEO Mods, Rand and I did a Whiteboard Friday entitled How to Choose an SEO Consultant. And we got into some of the questions about what tasks are best done in-house, what tasks you should outsource, where you need expert consulting advice. And it made me realize that was a much bigger question. And before Rich weighs in with some specific thoughts, we've had some feedback already chatting with people. If you, hopefully this is for people who are running in-house SEO operations, so you're actually doing SEO in-house. It's for people who manage in-house SEO people. It's for people who manage agencies, as in, you're a business and you use an agency. And it's also for people like us who run agencies, hopefully. And we wanted to mention, we think it's applicable if you don't have an agency, if you're a large organization with maybe in-house resource, we thought that might make sense to think of it similarly to using your internal resource like an internal agency.
Right, because if you've got a large in-house SEO team, I mean, most organizations today have, obviously they have a marketing function. More often than not, they have a strong digital marketing function. And typically, and more now, some of that marketing resource is dedicated to the management of in-house SEO. And I guess you've either got an in-house SEO manager who is fighting for the cause on his own and pitching for some support from an agency, or they're actually managing SEO agency resource as well. So I guess for me, a lot of this conversation is, well, what can we do to manage that SEO resource better? Or how can you decide when you need to expand that resource? How can you evaluate what the resource is, where your skills lie, and where you could do with some help, potentially? And so I guess that might lead us on later into the conversation of sort of when to outsource against when to keep some of this stuff in-house too, which is quite
Absolutely.
exciting.
Yeah, which is both a resource and an expertise question. I think we're kind of agreed on that.
Yeah.
And finally, if you are an agency, or you run an agency, or you work for an agency, then we think there's value in thinking about this stuff in terms of coaching your clients to get the most value from their SEO.
Yeah, there are definitely some things that I've experienced in the past with agencies that have really helped to build a good relationship, and they've really helped to keep a nice workflow, bobbing along. So I guess that can be a problem sometimes. You can actually not run out of work to do in a relationship, but you can allow the relationship to go to a place where it's not easy coming up with lots of things to do over the period of 6 months to a year. So I'm really interested in strategic planning. How do you work with an agency, or how do you work as a supplier with your client to put strategic plans in place, perhaps over quite a long period of time, right? So like maybe even over a year.
Yeah, or even longer. I mean, and, you know, these relationships, and they renew as well, right? Because strategic plans are rarely set in stone and then, well, they shouldn't be, set in stone and then forgotten about, right? You need to review it, and the market changes, Google goes and introduces something new, your competition does something crazy, all of that stuff.
Sure.
I hope that wasn't all intro. Hopefully there was something useful in there, but I think where we figured that the real conversation started was this concept of SEO being a project and trying to avoid certain buzzwords. There's certain buzzwords Rich and I are trying to avoid today, and whoever uses the buzzword first, a fiver to charity.
Okay, fiver to charity it is. There's a word that I'm thinking of now that I know that we're not allowed to say, which refers to acquiring some sponsorship and some ownership in-house of an SEO project, because this is a really big problem. And I hear a lot of SEO consultants say, well, you know, we started this piece of work with a client, we did a really, really great SEO consultancy, we delivered that work, and 6 months down the line, that work still hasn't been delivered, right? The technical development hasn't been done. So I guess, yeah, the first part of the conversation is sort of, how do you kick all this stuff off, right? So, you know, in-house, how do you decide, or how do you plan to kick off an SEO project? What things do you need to have in mind? What resources do you need behind you? And I guess starting with sponsorship is a really, really good idea. So getting somebody who's quite senior in the business to actually take almost complete ownership of the delivery of what we call an SEO project.
Yeah, and I guess the hard part is that you're sometimes even, it's even before that stage, right? Especially in small business. It feels to me that a lot of people come to us saying, I think I could be getting more business from the web, or you know, it's not even an SEO project at that stage. And so this is where the whole pre-sales merges with consulting, merges with online strategy. But so let's assume for a second that we know it's SEO we want,
yeah,
and we want to do the best job of making that happen. Okay. So we have identified a senior project sponsor.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Step one.
Yeah.
And I think earlier you were putting this to me as running it properly as a project.
Mm.
So talk to me a little bit about what you mean by that. What do we need to have in place to consider this a proper project?
Okay, so this was really, really interesting because quite typically you'll have a marketing department and their remit is to generate traffic. They'll go off, they'll source an SEO agency and just start working with that SEO agency. But that's the classic way to start working on SEO. But what if you could sort of design the perfect introduction to SEO process? So I came up with the idea of starting with a proper SEO project and actually building the practice of marketing through SEO as you would do in the same way maybe if you're building some kind of functional enhancement on the web on a website, you'd also be working on a project and there'd be a project team, there might be a project sponsor who takes ownership of all of this, and so if you put together an SEO project and define what your objectives are, first of all, perhaps before you've even actually spoken to an SEO agency, first of all.
Assuming you have some capability of doing that, right?
Sure, right, okay. So assuming that you can get the budget, I suppose, and the permission to go off and do this, the first thing that you could potentially do in a proper project-managed SEO project is, define some objectives, define your deliverables, define what it is that you're actually looking to do. Is it grow traffic? Is it increasing search engine visibility? And actually go out and find a project sponsor, so somebody quite senior in the business who's able to take full responsibility for the outcome of that SEO project, and perhaps they're responsible to the CEO of the company, right? So,
yeah.
So then you've got some top-level visibility for our SEO project. Well, I guess what you need to consider doing then is actually building in some of the primary stages into the project. So perhaps get a project manager, somebody who's really, really experienced in delivering tangible projects for a business, and put together a project board as well. So in that board, you might have a small team of representatives from other areas of the business, so a technology leader.
Yeah.
We were talking about maybe having somebody from finance in there, and somebody who...
certainly a budget holder.
right, budget holder and somebody who can set, probably the person that's doing the budgeting, and probably the person that's defining, you know, what the resource and spend is for an SEO project, might also want to have a major say on what the traffic targets might be for a project like this, right? And you see more and more, you know, the business development analysts actually modeling over a year what the traffic should look like on a website.
And actually building the model out behind that that turns into revenue.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually doing this for a prospective client at the moment where we're trying to work out what might it look like if certain targets were attained. And the problem is that the kind of traffic they might be going after in a project is fundamentally different to the kind of traffic they're getting at the moment. So it's quite hard to build a model that says what's going to happen if you achieve this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you might be getting a lot of really good direct-to-site traffic because you're a well-known brand.
Yeah.
Direct-to-site traffic is going to convert fundamentally differently to traffic that comes in via the SEO channel or the paid search channel, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm not surprised, actually, that, you know, you might need some expertise from somebody who's experienced in the behavior of that traffic to help you model what the end revenue would be, because the conversion values are going to be completely different.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things I wanted to drop in there, actually. Is I don't think people should be afraid of running pre-project projects, I guess.
Yeah.
To define the scope and to do some of this stuff if you don't have that expertise in house.
So we kick off an SEO project by kicking off the scoping phase, first of all.
Yeah.
So potentially before you're working with anybody at all, you've defined your objectives, you've done some work on, potentially you've done some work on traffic modeling, so you've got an understanding of the likely revenue that you can make from a project like this, which gives you a budget, right? That gives you, you know, a rough idea of what you can spend on some expertise. So then you've got the model, you've got the revenue stuff sorted out, you've put a board together, you've got sponsorship for the project. I nearly said our word, right? So you've got ownership of the project. So what next? Okay, we understand how much we want to make out of this project. We understand, you know, we've got the right people. We talked a little bit about the selection process, like who are we working with?
Yeah, and when to start that process, because one of the things that we've seen where projects potentially fail is where an agency selection is done perhaps by marketing.
Right.
And the first that the engineering department or the tech department know about it is the recommendations document landing on their desk.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I hope that we have never done that. But, you know, we've definitely come across those kind of scenarios. And certainly we've been in the situation as an agency where we've been brought in by marketing and the first the tech department knows about it is after kickoff. And we say, can we speak to the developers? And they go, oh, you want to speak to the... And that's a... That obviously causes potential issues. And so I think one of the things that that you and I were talking about was if we can try and involve some of those key stakeholders in the selection process itself.
Sure.
But we don't want to make it unwieldy, right? We actually want to get to a decision.
Mm.
So how might we... what do you think would be a reasonable process for doing that?
Okay, so I think you're right. I think that most of us have been in the situation where we realise the first time that the technical department of one of our clients has heard of us is when they receive the technical recommendations from us. And I think there's a massive missed opportunity with that, because it means that you might not have had direct contact with the people that actually understand how these systems work. And that's not a good thing. So if we go back to the project group scenario, I think it's okay if you're getting the group as a whole, maybe you've got five or six people, to meet a couple of potential candidates to work with,
yeah,
and get the group as a whole to make a decision on who they should be working with. I mean, if you're packaging your SEO project up as a project, that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
You scope what you want to do, you set the objectives around what it is that you want to achieve. The next stage is selecting a vendor, like an SEO agency. The group as a whole get to decide, you know, with their own interests in mind, with their own specialities in mind, you know, which agencies serve them best.
And hopefully there'll be some consensus on that. And I think generally, certainly the people that we know that we would recommend, you know, outside of ourselves, would come across well to all those different departments, I think.
Okay.
So that makes sense. So let's, conscious that we should kind of keep things moving forward.
Yeah.
From that point onwards, how do we kick off this stuff to give ourselves the best chance of success?
Okay. So I really like the idea of, and this is, you know, this advice is, I think it's relevant to you if you're an agency, if you're an in-house SEO manager, or if you're a generalist marketer. I think it's a really smart idea to get some good exposure time with your agency, like maybe like a planning day or something like that. Like book a day out, and as a group, you know, spend a day kind of working with, you know, a rough idea of what it is that you want to achieve, and you know, set an objective to produce some kind of a plan, right? A strategic plan. So if we know what kind of traffic we're looking for, if we know where we're going to be getting that traffic from, the agency is going to understand, you know, what skills they have, and that they'll know what they do well. But the company also understands what skills they have, right? And so if you all get together in, like, you know, like an off-site or something, call it a strategic planning day. I think that's a really good way to start this process.
It sounds very sensible and works really well, actually, as well, if your in-house is the need to have this kind of thing with the senior management and all these people who either hold budget or who hold sway over the teams that you need.
Exactly that. I mean, having been an in-house SEO manager with multiple agency relationships managed, I think one of the biggest problems that you face is, day-to-day work aside, is assigning your own time and your own resource to actually managing the work that the agencies are doing for you. And I think that you can help each other out a lot by getting together and planning the high level, you know, the high level plan over a fixed period of time. Maybe what does the next 6 months look like, and by when should we have these smaller projects, these deliverables, in with our clients?
Absolutely, and just thinking about this from projects that I know, in real world projects, it is. Objectives change as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, everything changes as we go along. One of the things we're trying to introduce at Field Impact is a living project document, kind of a single version of the truth, if you like, which is what is the project plan right now, snapshot, with a change history, documenting why things changed. Because it's, especially when you get the senior guys involved, it's very easy for them to come to a meeting, then them to come to a meeting 6 months later and go, what happened to that thing X? And of course, that was something that was going to be delivered in month three or four, but priorities changed for very valid reasons. And having that audit trail and that explanation is obviously about, and communicating it along the way is very important. I think, I mean, it's all part of what you were saying about making it a real project, right? But I think that's key as an agency, as a discipline to enforce on your clients as well.
Absolutely, because I think it breeds a more productive relationship. And you know, a lot of this conversation is how to get the most from your SEO. Well, you've got to have a really, really good snapshot of what SEO you're supposed to be doing in the first place.
Yeah,
it's so easy to let a couple of weeks fly by and nothing's happened, right? And everybody's guilty of letting that happen. So, you know, we're at a stage where we've specced out this wonderful SEO project, and you've sold that in to the senior management team, the people that you work for. But you've got to keep that plan on track, and you've got to understand, you know, where the milestones are. And I think making it a living, like a breathing project, is smart, because things do change. And you can get a complete change in direction in the work that you're being asked to do very quickly and rarely with any kind of real notice.
Absolutely. And that's part of our job as SEOs, because the world moves fast, right? The internet moves fast. Google makes changes. We have to be a bit agile about this.
Right. Yeah.
But we need to grown up about it at the same time. And but I think it also leads us into another thing that we wanted to talk about, which was the transparency thing. So the opening up to your agency and the agency opening up to the client and being open about those, you know, your goals, your model, how you make money, what makes you money, what doesn't make you money, what you're good at, what you're bad at, what you can do, what you can't do.
Right, well, what you're good and bad at, now that's really interesting, because, I mean, you know, I think there are a few things that I specialise in, and there are a few things that I just don't do at the moment. I think that's also the case sometimes with, like, managing your in-house SEO resource. So, you know, the process of understanding your strengths and weaknesses, like, what resources have you got as an in-house SEO that you can just deploy and you know you do very well? So, you know, you might be good link builders, or you might be able to do content very well. that you might not have some really strong front-end technical experience, right?
Yep.
I think that's quite an interesting sort of component of this sort of transparency of putting a good project together. It's being realistic about the things that you do well, just the things that you don't do so well, right?
Individually and as a team, as an SEO team, but also as an organization. And, I mean, the pro training thing I was banging on about USPs and all about, really, to win online, you have to be better than your competition at least something. Right. And it sounds a bit silly when you put it like that, but there's so many businesses that don't seem to realize that or attempt to be better than their competition at anything. They just think that one way or another they can achieve the rankings they want, the traffic they want, you know, all this kind of stuff, sustainably and off into forever. So is this, I mean, you know, this idea of understanding, you know, what capabilities you've got in-house versus what capabilities your supplier can provide, that should probably be part of the, I don't know, some kind of ongoing review process. So maybe you can work with your SEO team or your agency to get some of those skills and build them in-house over time, right? So, and you probably should. I mean, there are definitely some areas where I think your SEO, an external SEO agency, is very well placed to help you understand what you need to do better and actually help you find the people who could do it, whether that's other third-party vendors or whether it's recruitment or training or any of those things.
Yeah.
And particularly the training one. We were talking about knowledge handover.
Knowledge transfer. Right, yeah. So something like a monthly or a quarterly sort of couple of hours where you can send your in-house team to an agency, right, and they can come and work with, you know, and I know a few agencies out there do this, and I think it's a really, really smart thing to do, because having a great SEO client sometimes means having a client that's learning about SEO and they're making a lot of the day-to-day decisions in the right way and in the way that you need them to, for your work to really, really shine. Yeah,
completely. I mean, absolutely, our best clients are the ones who are engaged, want to know about SEO, and are learning about it themselves. And I mean, this is one of the reasons why I proactively talk to, for those clients who don't come via SEO Moz, I actually proactively talk to clients about SEO Moz and say, you know, read stuff on there, read some of the beginner's guide.
Yes.
Get involved.
Yeah.
And you know, some of our best clients are also active community members.
Mm. Well, I think there's nothing wrong at all with educating the client as an agency, you know, really working hard on making sure that you're transferring some skills over, giving them resources to, you know, to blogs, like checklists, you know, FAQs, whatever it is, because it makes them smarter. And I think that that's some of the value that they're trying to gain from you is your expertise, right? I mean, new clients will choose you because of that they perceive you to be experts in the field that they need some help with.
Yep.
Will help them gain some knowledge. I certainly don't think that you should ever hold anything back, or you should try and avoid.
I'm completely 100% with you on that. And I always feel like we can, and we're immersed in this. We are going to keep learning, and we're going to keep discovering stuff, and that's going to, but what we bring is experience across lots of projects and being fully immersed in SEO. It's not, we know some stuff, and we're going to keep it secret and not tell you what it is.
Mm.
That's my view. And I think certainly that would be one recommendation, is look for people who share that view.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to specifically what kind of tasks work really well in-house, outsourced, what the difference is between consulting and outsourcing, we've had a couple of questions about the project management side of things, and about software, and whether we've come across software that's flexible enough and is good for managing SEO projects in particular. I can weigh in on this while you're thinking, if you want, or
it's just reminded me that I saw a an online project management web tool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see if I can find that resource while you talk.
My view of this is, and it comes back to what you were saying earlier on, is that SEO is a project fundamentally, and in terms of agency client relationship, manage it at the client side or in between the client and the agency as you manage any other project, and therefore the best tool is the one that you use for managing projects. Like, you want to be familiar with whatever you're using. And the other thing that I'm guilty of, and it's probably because I'm a, you know, slightly, you know, I have a tendency not to focus on things and not to actually project manage.
Are you easily distracted, Will?
What were you saying? yes, I'm easily distracted. I'm a dreadful project manager, and therefore I have a tendency to think what I need is a great software tool. But a software tool is not project management. That's kind of one key thing to realize here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth dropping names of things like you know, Basecamp and that kind of stuff are excellent tools for certain kinds of things.
Yes.
Some people rave about Microsoft Project.
Do you know what? Microsoft Project, I think, it, you know, if your company's got it, if you bought it, use it, learn how to use it. I mean, the Microsoft stuff, it's amazing. Like, my girlfriend is awesome with Excel and PowerPoint, right? And some of the things that she's shown me...
That's what you want
recently,
your girlfriend,
I know, I know. and recently, some of the things that she's shown me that tool can, those tools can do, I'm like, I just didn't know this software could do that. And so Microsoft Project is worth learning. I mean, if you need a really, really comprehensive project management tool, I think that you should certainly be thinking about that. But there are loads of other things. I mean, I've just come across a resource called Tom's Planner, right? And we'll put the link up on the...
Well, we can tweet it as well. Can't
right, I'll tweet
it. Is everybody following me, Ian Rich? So I'm Will Critchlow on Twitter, but we're actually... My computer's the one driving the webinar, so... you need to follow Richard Baxter on Twitter. We should have put that on the slide. Should we do that in a second?
Oh yeah.
So Richard's going to tweet some links as we go along.
I'm just tweeting this link that I've had in my bookmarks for a little while too on Lifehacker, which is like a software-based project management tool. But I think what you're saying, you know, it's not necessarily always about the software. It's just about understanding all of the different variables and all of the different sort of sub-projects that you should be running, and I guess you just need a tool that can help you keep a really good note of all of the different things that you're running. I know a few people talk about Raven tools,
yeah,
link building.
Yeah, and somebody in the comments is mentioning BuzzStream, which I haven't used myself, and that's a different side of things. I think when we're talking about that, we're less talking about project management and we're more talking about SEO management,
like day-to-day SEO operations.
Yes, yeah. And I think Raven could well get there, actually, for a lot of that stuff.
Mm.
And I'm quite intrigued by their link management stuff.
So I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's their strongest offering in terms of the sort of day-to-day operation stuff, is the ability to record and find new links and record sort of, you know, your progress as a link builder, right? So it's sort of a good project management tool or a day-to-day project management tool for that. For the high-level stuff, like the technical development, depends how big your company is, but I mean, if you've got an in-house project manager, try having a chat with them. I mean, I've actually worked with...
It's a skill, right?
Project management is a skill all in its own right, and you know, I know a couple of SEOs that have project management abilities themselves. They've got actual qualifications in it. I've worked with a couple of really good project managers, and I've actually sat down with them for a couple of hours and, you know, asked them for templates and asked them for advice, right? They're expert in just the concept of managing a project. We're expert in SEO. Those two things, you know, can be different.
Absolutely. Moving on, we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between, and this, Randall and I touched on this in the Whiteboard Friday,
yeah,
the difference between getting consulting help and outsourcing something. And there is a fuzzy line down the middle, right?
Right.
And we're getting questions about, you know, what are common tasks to outsource, that kind of side of things. What does this... How do you make these kind of decisions?
Well, I guess it boils down to understanding, first of all, what things do you need to be doing most. So when you're talking to your new SEO expert, they should help you look at sort of, you know, what skills and capabilities you've got and help you make a call on what things you should be doing more of, what things you should start doing,
yeah,
and maybe even what things you should be doing less of, right? You might be...
Yes, absolutely.
So I wonder if that's the first part of the process, is to look at what you're capable of actually doing in-house, first of all. And you should choose somebody who can be really honest with you and say, well, actually, you're already really good at this, so we're not going to offer you that as a service.
But also isn't tied to the people doing other things, because in case you're not good at something, you know, you want the honesty there as well, right?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? And it can take a brave man to sit in front of a new client and say, you could be better at this thing. I'm not sure if I've actually been in that situation recently, And you just hope that if you've got a client who can be honest about what they're doing, if they can come to you and say, well, we're not sure if this is the right way to handle that particular piece of work. Is this the right way for us to be writing content? Is this the right way for us to be doing keyword research? Are we building links the right way? Should we be doing more of these, you know, these spammy directory submissions? Or should we be thinking about article marketing and you know, PR distribution?
Yeah.
And actually, that's really interesting. So, you know, if you can actually get inside an organization enough to see how each different area of the business is working, you know, you might discover that they've got a really strong PR department.
We had this,
loads of amazing content.
We had this with a client the other day. Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
But the PR department just doesn't know anything about SEO yet. Potentially, right? So you can recognize that they've got loads of these people, loads of copywriters.
Contact and content, quite often.
Absolutely, it's the contact, yeah. They call it.
Although I think the funny one is when they've got the great content that you're like, that's killer, but it's nowhere on the website. And as an SEO, you tend to only look at the website, so if it's not on the website, you kind of don't know about it.
Yeah.
That's a risk. Tom wrote a post on SEO Moz at the weekend about checklists for SEO.
Yes.
You know, following the, I can't remember the guy's name.
The SEO FAQ stuff.
It came out of the idea that in medicine, the checklists have saved more lives than most new kinds of drugs, right? No matter how trained you are, how educated you are, you still forget little details, and applying the same thing to SEO. Mm. And one of the things that we're putting in place in terms of our checklists internally at Distilled is that those checklists are things that have you asked the client. Have you asked the client if they have a PR agency,
yeah,
or if they have an in-house PR resource?
Mm.
Have you asked the client if? And just having a bunch of those.
Well, that's a great blog post idea. How to evaluate the capabilities of a new client. And it's sort of, I guess it's a bit strange because, you know, you go in and you pitch a specific kind of product or, you know, a deal or whatever, and then you start work on that process. But I think it's okay to say, well, you know, part of this process, right at the beginning of our relationship, we'll come in and we'll spend a day with you, we'll look how you work, we'll take notes, and we'll do a bit of, like, I guess it's sort of management consulting almost.
It really is, and it's how, actually, I mean, I used to be a management consultant, and on the site is how you spend a lot of your time.
Yeah.
You know, so you live out the suitcase, you travel around business parks, it's not very glamorous.
Yeah.
And I think we sometimes don't do enough of that as SEOs because we think we can see what's going on from the output, i.e. the website.
Mm.
But actually being on site with the client, I think that's probably a very big deal. We're going to go into some of the specifics. I just wanted to mention that also, you know, we'll be going for another few minutes. If anybody has any questions, you can ask them via the interface on GoToWebinar, or you can tweet #OptimalSEO. A few people have already, and we'll pick up some of those. We've had an interesting question of what is the riskiest SEO task to outsource?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the default answer is probably link building.
True, but actually, so link building can get you, obviously, penalties and that kind of nastiness, but it kind of,
it depends on
development, right? I mean, if you rebuild your website with no thought to SEO,
sure,
you can screw that up pretty spectacularly as well.
Right, so you've got technical SEO development, so, you know, you can outsource a technical SEO review. Somebody comes in, does a complete assessment of the site, makes a bunch of recommendations, might be coupled with a bit of keyword research, right? Now, I guess there's always a risk in the technical recommendations being implemented incorrectly, yeah?
And yeah.
What I always insist on is, you know, give me access to your QA environment.
Let me see it before it goes live.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let me just do an evaluation of it and just make sure that it's not going to be worse than it was before.
Yeah.
Right? It's really unlikely, but that's a risk. So I guess, yeah, the default answer is link building. But, you know, you need
social
to,
media.
Right. Okay. Because, yeah, sure. Yeah. This is definitely a more of a distilled thing, but saying the wrong thing on behalf of a client publicly, I don't know if I can think of any examples of that actually happening.
The thing is, who knows which of those cases of, you know, Habitat or Vodafone, who've been screwed up very publicly on Twitter, for example.
Yeah.
They said they were interns, but that could be somebody,
Well, that's very true. Perhaps they did.
Covering their, you know, whatever. But, I think, coming back across all of this, I think that's a lot of this is about oversight and understanding.
Yes.
What people are doing on your behalf.
Yes.
Keeping an eye on it and making sure that what you're expecting to happen is in fact what is happening.
It's about transparency as well. So
transparency in both directions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. The agency revealing how they're working and what it is they're doing and how they're planning to go about that. But also that I think, you know, on the in-house side, like, I think you have to be really open about, you know, upcoming projects, things that you're working on. There's nothing more devastating than finding out that your SEO client is about to, you know, launch a major new piece of functionality on the site and they haven't consulted you. So
yes.
How can you then assure them that you're doing your best work to them?
Yeah, and this relates to some of the questions that we had about integrating SEO into design, development, UX, all this stuff. And my view is this is one of the key things I wanted to mention is integration of SEO into other processes is a key determinant of success, in my opinion. So if you need to be able to, as a business, say that, for example,
yeah,
SEO sign-off is one of the things that determines whether a release is allowed to move to live.
Sure. I mean, I guess that if you're speccing out a new website, you've done a whole load of work on the usability, it might be a sensible idea actually to get the SEOs involved with the wireframing process, right? When you're building the very, very first mockups, there's no technical dev happening at all, right? But
yeah,
you've got maybe five different layouts of a web page that you're going to be testing. You can normally look at where the SEO issues are going to appear just by seeing a mockup of a design.
Definitely.
And so I think the golden rule is there: just get involved really early. Look at the designs. Then, when there's a technical sort of staging environment mock-up, have another look, give you feedback. I don't think that you typically encounter any major conflicts in user experience in the design stage and SEO, apart from when you didn't know it was going on.
Exactly. Apart from when it gets to the end and you try and you're left trying to shoehorn recommendations back in after the fact. Mm. That's when you start annoying the UX guys.
Well, because
for the very obvious reason that you're kind of, it's just the wrong way of doing it.
You're ruining their work.
Yes.
That's how they'll see it.
Yes.
Well, in much the same way that you can do a whole bunch of SEO on a site and then it gets redesigned with no SEO built in. And that can, you know, that can cause problems too. So I think, and it always boils down to constructing a nicely formed and planned project. So if it's a user experience project, that's okay, but build SEO into the initial scoping,
yeah,
specification, and vice versa as well. How are my SEO changes going to impact the user experience on the site? You know.
Absolutely. We probably should be trying to wrap up. Last couple of bits and pieces of questions to follow up on.
Yeah. Okay,
kind of an interesting one then.
Have you had any success or experience in integrating? Oh no, we've done that one. Sorry. What about the offshoring of SEO? And again, more specifically, link building. Any value there? Possibly South Africa. Well, I guess the high-level answer is, well, you know, it doesn't really matter where an SEO vendor is located. What does matter is your ability to assess the quality of the work that they're going to do for you.
Well, not only the quality, but also the kind of qualitatively, what are they going to do for you?
Yeah.
The kind of thing that is done by different agencies is very different.
Right.
And link building, I have a personal bugbear about the fact that, you know, we talk about link building all the time and how it's everything.
Yeah.
But link building isn't one thing. And particularly when we're talking about this, we're talking about, I think the question is referring quite specifically to specific kinds of link building, right?
Okay.
We're talking here, I mean, I imagine, you know, kind of article submissions, PR, you know, kind of unique content, human written content, but not necessarily particularly valuable. Directory-based stuff.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that goes on everywhere. I mean,
of course it does. No, absolutely. But it does seem like that's what kind of what this is referring to in some senses. So I think you're right. I don't think it matters where it's done. I think it matters what you're doing.
Yeah.
And keeping the oversight over that what you think is being done is in fact what is being done.
Yeah. And I'm really, you know, genuinely leaving this conversation with a sense that a low-risk approach is planning at the beginning and structuring how you're going to deliver a project based on what it is that you're trying to deliver, being really open and honest about your strengths and your weaknesses and being transparent about what's in the pipeline, not agency side, what's in the pipeline in-house.
Yeah.
And QA, right? And you know, the ability to actually stay involved all the way down the process, be it development, be it link building, to really get a really strong sense that the work that's being delivered is right for you, right? And it's going to work. And
yes. And your SEO should help you with this, right? But
yeah.
But I think it is a responsibility of a client as well. You know, it's not a sole SEO agency or consultant responsibility. And I think that what we're boiling down to there is the project management, the transparency,
yeah,
the integration, the education and learning,
mm,
and then this strategy stuff, and particularly the strategic review at the beginning, the strategy at the beginning.
And then, yeah, we were talking about the idea of quarterly reviews, which can sometimes, you know, sometimes you can sort of dread the idea of having to put together reports and progress reports, particularly, especially when you're just doing the SEO and a lot of your work's dependent on the client's ability to deliver that work.
Yes, and you want to be getting on with the work, not writing reports about the work.
Yeah, but then again, I really, really like the idea of meeting quarterly for, you know, a brief but reasonably formal progress review where everyone can be open and honest about the progress that they're making, the barriers that they're experiencing, things that are holding them back.
Yeah.
And also, it's a really, really good opportunity if you're an in-house SEO manager and you've got an agency. It's a really good opportunity to keep that agency in touch with the senior management team. So invite the project sponsor along, or invite the CEO if you can get his time to come and listen to what that agency have been doing. It makes them more accountable, but also it gives the agency an opportunity to help keep your senior management team far more aware of what's going on in search marketing
and also what they need to drive in their organisation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it has to go back up the tree to kind of come back down and actually get executed, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's that question of some of the activities that you can outsource. Perhaps you should consider outsourcing certain pieces of work that are likely to have more gravitas if they're coming from an external agency. So, you know, you might have issues that you've been banging the drum about at work for months. And, we've got an
ambulance. Sorry about the siren going past the office here.
If you can't hear us, I think there'll be, like, you'll be able to download the recording of this anyway.
Yeah, which will also have the siren.
Yeah, hopefully. And now I've forgotten where was I? Well,
right. Where were you?
All right, so there's the whole accountability thing. Yeah, that's right. So if you're asking your agency to do pieces of work for you, some of those pieces of work might hold more credibility coming from an agency than they might from, from the in-house team. And I don't wish that to sound negative. It's just sometimes new ideas, like, you know, something that's quite groundbreaking or innovative for that company, if they're coming from the agency the company's paying to do the work, I don't know, maybe that can sometimes have more impactfulness.
We've definitely had people bring us in to say, you know, I think this is the right answer, but I think also that the only way it's actually going to happen is if you agree with me. And we jointly present that for senior management, and obviously we have to be...
Yeah, that's really interesting as well. On the line now, I think we've got some kind of background music. I'm not sure if that's just us that can hear that.
I think they're trying to chuck us out, Rich.
Oh, everybody. Okay, we're being chucked out. But there's just one really important point that I've seen come up on Twitter from Joanna Butler. He says, in-house outsource, but don't forget in-source as well. So bringing someone in, even for the short term, perhaps even from the agency, and that's a really, really good point.
Yeah.
So if the agency make an offer to perhaps lend you one of their SEOs for a day or so a week, for a one-month project or a two-month project, that's a really interesting idea.
That is an interesting idea. I haven't explored that as much as, as I feel like maybe I should have. And it goes hand in hand with the vice versa side of things with clients coming into the SEO offices.
Yeah.
With that idea, that's probably a good place to wrap up, I think.
Right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to us. Thank you, Rich, for joining me today.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And we have been recording this, hopefully, assuming the technology worked. You know what we're like with technology. And I will send out an email with links to the recording and downloads and stuff as soon as I can get that available. But in the meantime, thank you, everyone. Speak to you soon.
Thanks very much.